This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Outrageous, the who and the why of the army coup, which deposed Honduran President Manuel Zelaya, will speak with the Honduran UN Ambassador and Interior Minister Jorge Arturo Reyna. The June 28th coup against President Zelaya of Honduras reminds us of the worst years in Latin American history, but international, regional, and popular power in the streets are mobilizing.
They're mobilizing against the right-wing destabilizing forces and their enablers, including the United States. Now, an exclusive extended conversation with Honduran Ambassador to the United Nations and Honduran Interior Minister Jorge Arturo Reyna.
Ambassador, perhaps you can help us understand, as Latin American countries were emerging out of periods of oligarchic control and out of fascism, what this coup means for the people of Honduras and really for the continent of Latin America.
Esta situación significa un intento de detener el proceso de reformas democráticas en el país y de hacer medidas económicas que disminuyan la pobreza.
What is going on right now is just an act of trying to stop free democracy in our country. What the government of Zelaya was trying to do was apply measures that would distribute better the riches of the country. One very important specific point that is not being carried out at the moment is to hear the actual opinion of the people of Honduras, not the high social classes or the people with power, but the actual population of the country. The actual drop, we could say, that overflowed the cup was when the President Zelaya carried out his process of survey of the fourth ballot. What was the meaning of this fourth ballot? It was basically, there's three of them at the moment. One is for voting for the president. The second one is voting for Congress. The third one, voting for the mayors. And the fourth one was going to be the referendum, the survey, to see if there would be a change in the Constitution. The idea of this fourth ballot what drove the whole thing out of control. Do you realize that what these people were actually against was the people's opinion, letting the people vote? Well, the people of the country have always been denied considerable salaries, opinions, and now even voting. To stop this fourth ballot from being carried out, the coup was carried. Why did they want to stop it? Because deep down, these people knew that the fourth ballot was going to be in favor of change. In surveys that were carried out before, referring to the fourth ballot, it was clear that it was going to be in favor of changing the Constitution, and approximately 60-70% of the population were going to be in favor of it. So they just tried to stop this from happening. The coup happened the day that the voting was going to be carried out.
Eso significa que el gobierno no pudo saber lo que el pueblo pensaba. ¿Y por qué se opusieron a eso? Es una pregunta importante.
And why they were opposed to this, it's a very important question. Because they were afraid that when the people were actually going to say, yes, we want to change, that they were now going to be part of speaking or voting or saying their opinions in the National Constitutional Assembly to reform the Constitution. They immediately thought this was just going to be communism. They thought that it was going to be all against the great business people, and they exaggerated everything, blew it out of proportion. I want to state that the referendum is actually contemplated in the actual Constitution. So they're actually abusing what the actual Constitution really says. They did the coup to prevent people's voices from being heard. Who was behind the whole coup? The biggest economic sector of the country. They did it by signing a paper in which basically were backing the coup. Yeah, they actually gave money for the coup. Each individual person or company stated how much they would give. And at the end of the petition that they signed, it said that this contribution will be tax exempt.
Increíble.
It's really incredible.
Increíble. Eso da la medida de la miseria. La
they don't want to spill one penny. They want everything for themselves. They even want the people to pay for the coup that they're backing. It's amazing, but it's actually on paper. They distributed these petitions, these letters. So now you can have an idea of what kind of people, their mentalities and their morals were behind all this.
What were the changes that President Zelaya had done and that he was proposing that the business interests were so against?
El presidente Zelaya todavía no había hecho ninguna propuesta de cambio. Solo había preguntado al pueblo si quieren que cambie.
President Zelaya actually yet had not done any proposal of changes. It was just a simple survey of would you like changes in the Constitution or reform, yes or no. And he announced a couple of things that he would have liked for the Constitution to say that not only the Congress would have the final saying in things, but also that other sectors of the country would be involved as well, and they would have a voice as well. The Congress is only represented by people of political parties. So what President Zelaya was proposing was to allow other sectors of society to participate in the Constitutional Assembly. He wants to stay out the difference between the Congress and the Constitutional Assembly. The Congress is the permanent legislative organism, and the Constitutional Assembly exists only for a short period of time and only to reform the Constitution. That's why it was necessary to invite to participate the not only Congress, but the participation of the Constitutional Assembly. For me, it's still amazing to think that this is the main reason for a coup. What was the immediate consequence? The country was basically divided between all the poor people, which is about 70% in favor of change, and political parties also were divided. I believe that the Liberal Party, which is the oldest political party in Latin America, and now they are also divided for the first time. The masses supported President Zelaya, and the head of all this is Micheletti. How is he the head of this whole political party now? They make an internal election, from then elect the president of the political party. Micheletti was actually candidate to be the president of this Liberal Party, and he was placed last. The masses voted against him. I was at the party's convention, the Congress of the Party, where Micheletti was designated president of the party in a very irregular manner. And it's the first time that I ever saw in the party that one president could not speak because the delegates of the party did not allow him, even though he was. They threw chairs at him. They were throwing everything at him. And he had to intervene with a speech to calm the masses or everyone there. So Micheletti could not even speak in his own part. In the 117 years of the Liberal Party, this had never happened before. And that is why the party is now divided. Yeah, Micheletti is ahead and the masses are elsewhere. They're not behind him.
The Supreme Court in Honduras ruled that the referendum violated the Constitution, and then General Romeo Vasquez would not hand out the ballots. So how do we look at the role of the Supreme Court, certainly the role of General Romeo Vasquez, and that issue of the media here that President Zelaya was engaged in an unconstitutional act as determined by his own court structure?
La Corte Suprema es una decepción de todos. Micheletti la nombró.
The Supreme Court is really a disappointment for all. Micheletti named it. The President of Congress and President of the political party actually named it. He placed the people that he wanted. And, of course, they obeyed him afterward by breaking any amendments that was linked to the law. It was awful. Micheletti first said that President Zelaya had resigned. He said it the first day. He said he had the letter.
Y la Corte Suprema dijo que si había renunciado, entonces...
And so the Supreme Court said, okay, if he resigned, then there has to be a restatement of the president. And there is no such resign.
Era falso.
It was fake. It was false.
Y la Corte Suprema ni siquiera...
And the Supreme Court didn't even care to carry out an investigation to see if this was true or not.
Por eso creo yo que no solo hubo problema mano interna.
It was not only an internal issue, but I'm sure that there were also external forces outside of the country involved. Because in other conditions, this would have been impossible. The Supreme Court just fell apart because of his instructions. They just basically did what he asked. And under other conditions, this would never be possible.
The major newspaper outlets in the United States are still suggesting that President Zelaya was trying to subvert the Constitution.
Llamó a la gente a votar, preguntarle si querían o no reformar la Constitución.
Again, no, he just called out a voting process to make the people decide. It's actually less profound than what we said before, because he was actually calling the people to vote if they wanted a fourth ballot in the next election, which are at the end of November, so that people then would vote if they wanted a fourth ballot or not. That was basically a yes or no, not even about changing it yet. And the people offended were asking him, why are you asking the people if they want to change the Constitution? I remember I traveled from here from UN, from New York to Tegucigalpa, capital of Honduras. And when I got off the plane into the airport, I was flocked by reporters, and they asked me, are you in favor of the fourth ballot? And I answered that yes, I was in favor of it. And they were asking me, but don't you think that's unconstitutional? And I asked, what's unconstitutional about asking the people what they want? According to the Constitution, the people are the sovereign of the country. Then how is it wrong to ask them? And I told them, before the French Revolution, the sovereign was the king. After the French Revolution, the people are the sovereign. Before the French Revolution, do you think it was wrong to ask the king?
Hubiera sido prohibido preguntarle al rey. Los periodistas se quedaron.
The reporters, of course, were speechless.
Preguntarle al rey entonces era lo mismo que preguntarle al pueblo ahora.
To ask the king back then was the same as asking the people now.
Explíquenme, por favor.
Please explain to me how that is forbidden.
Increíble cómo eso lo comenzamos por lo que dije al principio. Ya no quieren ni que el pueblo opine.
Now they don't even want the people to give their opinion. And they're producing these presidential elections, which are each time less valid. Because the owners of the media are placing their bet on the best presidential candidate. And so they're just selling him. So the media chooses. And the people vote, and that's it. But the person that actually chooses is someone else. They say, we're going to make this one win. But the media says, okay, we want this one, and they carry on the whole process for him, and basically the people end up thinking that he's the best one. I was in a meeting when my brother was a candidate for the presidential. And he won the presidency. And some of the most powerful people in the media asked him for an interview. And I was there. And they told him. They said, Carlos Roberto, which is his brother, we're going to make you president. Those exact words. And he responded, nope, the people is going to make me president. Yeah, and at the time, it seemed like some joking around. And one of the people, the reporter, said, look at all the media here. We control everything. We've decided to support you, and we hope that you do well. I asked my brother, well, do you think this is democracy? But then I said, well, now we need them. But this is not democracy, it's a lie. My brother won the elections and he did some reforms. They tried to kill him twice. They did not succeed, but there were two intent. And the army was involved because he assigned me one job to subordinate the army to the president of the country. So we made a small reform in the Constitution to make the president be in charge of the army. So now you can see that the Romeo Vasquez did not obey the president. The president gave him the order, and he did not obey it. What he did was basically illegal because he disobeyed the commander-in-chief of the army, which is the president. And that's why some people are saying that the only way that Romeo Vasquez disobeyed was because he knew he had the support of the United States. If not, if he didn't have a support of this magnitude, then he would have never obeyed.
You say that the United States was involved in the coup. Could you expand on that, and are you satisfied with the U.S. response after the coup?
Yo no estoy diciendo que ellos dieron el golpe, pero consintieron el golpe. No hicieron nada por evitarlo.
I'm not saying that they gave the coup. but they kind of allowed it to happen. They didn't do anything to prevent it or try to stop it. And I'm sure that they kind of knew that it would be carried out. And they did not think maybe that the answer of the people was going to be so much against the coup. Now, I'm not just saying this because I want to say it. I'm saying it because even some people from the Congress admitted that they were in D.C. talking about it. There's a congresswoman that's actually said, quoting, "We had many meetings with the ambassador. I'm not imagining it. They're actually saying it."
And now, is the United States doing all it could, all it should?
Creo que lo que ha dicho el presidente Obama es correcto, y creo que él cree en eso. Lo que está ocurriendo, que puede
resultar. I think that what President Obama has said is by all means correct, and he believes in his own word. What he is doing or saying to be done is actually a good way to restabilize the government. Yeah, but there could also be a way of restabilizing it in which the president does not have control to make the president come back and forget about his reforms. But I think they're not going to be able to do that. They did not expect the whole world to respond the way that they have. And they also didn't expect the reaction of the Honduran people, or the reaction of our neighbor governments as well, or the reaction of the people of the governments around us. That is too big to just try to impose something. If they actually impose this method, they're going to just make the country like non-governmental. Like, I am sure of this.
The United States has a significant base in Soltocano with hundreds and hundreds of troops, and they refuse to call what is happening in Honduras a coup, or therefore refusing to block aid to Micheletti. So isn't the role of the U.S. much more intense and aggressive than it would appear on its face towards supporting the coup?
Pero el presidente Obama dijo debe ser restablecido.
This is at least a translation that he got. President Obama was saying that immediate restabilization of President Zelaya was needed. But I've noticed myself that days after, they have stopped calling it a coup. And they have stopped calling President Micheletti a coupist. Or
como bajándole el tono del golpe.
But they're calling him like interim president.
Pero eso que le bajen el tono no ha determinado que la gente baje su lucha. Yo estoy viendo una nueva Honduras.
But even though they're like doing it less aggressively, they're calling the coup by other names and being less aggressive about it, it has yet not changed the response of the people. I'm looking at a new Honduras, people in the streets, and a new Central America. Since I can remember, and that's a lot of decades, Honduras is always surrounded by armies and dictator governments. Villeda Morales, which was a Democratic governor in the 60s, he made some reforms in the labor and the social legislation. And he was also blocked by a coup. So at this point, Honduras, which was a liberal democratic, was surrounded by Guatemala, Salvador, and Nicaragua, which showed being dominated by fascism. Now it's different. In Nicaragua, we had a triumphant revolution. Also in El Salvador, we see a more leftist government. And in Guatemala, also a pretty stable democratic government. So this has caused the neighbor countries of Guatemala, Nicaragua, and El Salvador to announce that they were going to close borders for Honduras, for the people, the Honduran people behind the coup, to leave. The people from the coup don't know what they've done, but basically they've awakened whole Central America. They have no idea of the future consequences that this can produce. And neither United States has been able to measure the consequence that this is going to bring.
Si eso no se corrige ya, se va a incendiar Central America.
And if this is not corrected now, Central America is going to be...
Pueblos están seguros de que tienen razón.
Burn up us. People are convinced that they are right.
De que es un atropello. De que es un atropello lo que se ha hecho. Y por eso digo, Dios ciega.
That's why I say God blinds who wants to lose. How did they not know? They thought that this coup was going to go by like in the olden days. For the first time, the people have responded to it, have not, you know, been quiet about it, and not only Honduras, but the people of all Central America. I believe that this coup was basically an awakening of democracy in Central America. And the more they try to stop President from coming back, the more damage they're going to be bringing. And one thing that makes this coup different is that 192 countries declared it a coup, illegal. When coups in the past were just passed by and nobody really said anything. When some years ago still, when the military made these coups, nobody ever protested or said anything. Now the whole planet is against it, the whole UN is against it, Latin America entirely is against it, and Central America as well. It's a whole new reality and they did not measure this. That's why at this moment the people behind the coup are the ones more worried and rushing around than the actually Democrats, in my opinion.
There's talk about the possibility of a general strike against the coup. What do you know about that, and who are the unions in Honduras who might take part, and also who are that their companies are owned by? Who are the people that you're talking about that helped to stage the coup in terms of the economic interests?
I don't know the actual names of the people behind these business people. And if I did, I would not like to give out names. That's not the point. I do know it's a group of very big company owners that have always sponsored presidential promotions. And this time they were against the minimum wage raise, which was very critical because President Zelaya raised the minimum wage. And it was a huge dispute, of course, for the company owner.
Donde el impuesto sobre la renta.
In Honduras, the state is basically sustained by the poor.
Porque les cobran el impuesto.
Why? Because they're being charged all these taxes. The sales tax that the poor people pay is actually higher than the taxes of company owners pay. That the poor are paying basically more taxes than the rich. So the poor pay the state, and the state gives to the rich. It's upside down.
So there is talk of a general strike. Do you think that the workers will come out? And if they do, the military, which is so aggressive and still a handmaiden of imperialism, what will happen?
Creo que el ejército va a recibir órdenes de reprimir. De reprimir el pueblo.
I believe that the army is going to receive orders to repress the people to the strike, but I'm not sure that all of the army is going to respond, and there another conflict can develop. I'm not sure, but I mean that if there is a general strike, the government falls apart, and it won't be able to be held up, not even by the army. And I believe that the army is at a critical point of its rupture. If they take it further, the army is going to fall apart. There's military people that are not in favor of what is happening. And that believe that there was no reason for a coup.
O sea, por eso le digo, el problema es muy grave.
So the problem is, of course, it's very big.
No sé, pero lo que no debe haber es un gobierno que no mande. El gobierno debe tener el poder que la Constitución de la República le da.
The government certainly has to have the power that the Constitution gives to the government, and that's the only limit that has to be accepted. And the Constitution states that there has to be a government of conciliation. That's what needs to be put in practice, not some other thing that they're making up or that they want to impose. The president needs to come back to put in order and endow the Constitution, make sure it's being respected. The idea of bringing back President Zelaya and the idea of him not governing is not possible. The people will not accept it. It's the first time this will happen. It's a decision that is not going to be made by three people sitting down at a table and discussing what has to be done, but it's a decision that is finally up to the people. They're going to say who they want to govern. Telling you again what I said at the beginning, they do not know what they have done. They thought that they were going to hold back history, and they've only accelerated it. They put motor in history.
any concluding comments about what certainly our listeners should know about supporting the people of Honduras?
Mi conclusión es que de este intento de detener los progresos sociales de Honduras va a resultar un gobierno con un pueblo.
I would just like to say that from this attempt to revert the progress of society in Honduras, the results will be a better organized government for the future. I'm going to go back to the coups that happened in the past, the one of Villeda Morales in Honduras, for example. All he wanted was change. The rest of the countries didn't. Juan Bosch only wanted change as well, and they were both out by a coup, and nobody supported them. Now it's a continental process. Everyone's in the same position, all the countries and the neighbor countries and the regions.
Por eso, para detener eso, habría que dar un golpe en todos los países el mismo día.
So for this to be stopped, there has
y a la
to
misma
be
hora.
A coup at the same time, at the same day and place in every country in the
no
world.
No hay otra forma.
There's no other way.
And you were listening to the UN ambassador from Honduras and the interior minister, similarly, of Honduras, Minister Jorge Arturo Reina. And we indeed hope that there is a successful restoration of the government of President Manuel Zelaya. Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.